Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for attending the second and final day of this wonderful cultural event, the Festival of India. In a few moments, we're going to conclude with our favorite part of the show. Which is called Kirtan, or congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna song. And our performers are getting ready backstage. So while they're doing that, I'm going to take a few moments only and share with you another aspect of India's culture, which is philosophy. You've heard the music, you've seen the dramas, and hopefully you've tasted some of our delicious food. But another very important aspect of India's culture is her philosophy. Philosophy is important because it gives meaning to our lives. And most important, philosophy gives us a higher goal in life, a higher goal to achieve. That philosophy of ancient India is found most notably in this book called Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is to the people of India what the Bible is to those of us born in the West. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, and it was spoken 5,000 years ago by Lord Sri Krishna when he was present on this planet. As we explained yesterday, Krishna is one of the many names for God. There's one God. He has many names. Why should he only have one name? You have three names. You have your first name, your middle name, your family name, and maybe your husband has a special name for you. That's four names. And you're very tiny, God is very great. So he can have so many names. And in India, when they refer to God, they say Krishna. This is a nice name for God. It means he's very, very beautiful. So that's the author of this book. It makes it a really important book. So like all the great scriptures in the world, the Bhagavad Gita stresses first and foremost the importance of the human form of life. If we look around us in this world, we can see there's millions of different species of life. And we should give proper respect to all of them because they're all created by God. But out of all of them, the human form of life is the most important. Why? Because God has given us a very special gift. Intelligence. He gives a gift to all of his children, all the species of life. The birds can fly. You can't fly. If you want to fly, you have to buy a ticket and go on an airplane. A bird? It just flies. This is God's gift. A fish, he can swim underwater his whole life. He doesn't need oxygen tanks and scuba gear. A butterfly? She's always beautiful. She always has her makeup on. It doesn't come off, and she doesn't have to put it on every morning. She's always beautiful. It's God's gift. A bear, he can sleep for 6 months and no one wakes him up. He has to go to work. You see my point? God gives all of his children some little special gift. What did we get? We're waiting in line, so what did we get? In Sanskrit, we got what is called buddhi, or intelligence. And with this intelligence, we've created this amazing modern civilization. We have fast cars and satellites and computers and internet and it's all very nice. But the real reason that God gave us this intelligence is that there's a higher purpose. And what is that? That is to discover our deeper spiritual nature within. That's the purpose of our intelligence. We can understand our deeper spiritual personality. So that's the subject matter of the first chapter. It's very interesting, actually, when you think about it. First of all, Krishna explains that we're not these bodies. Most people, you ask them, who are you? Here I am. We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror. We're brushing our teeth and we're thinking, oh, today I look very nice. Or I don't look very nice. No. This is a misconception. You're not the body. You're the soul inside the body. The body is like a dress covering the soul. Actually, because we don't know we're the soul, we give so much attention to the body. We almost, it's almost as if we starve the soul within. Like, once there was a man. He was walking down the street.
And
he went by a pet store. And there was a beautiful birdcage outside the store. And a most beautiful parrot was inside that cage from Brazil. So this man, he stopped and he thought, whoa, what a beautiful cage. I've never seen such beautiful artwork in a cage. So he walked inside, he said to the owner of the store, how much is that cage? And the man said, you mean the cage and the bird? 1,000 zlotys. So the first man said, wow, that's really expensive for a cage. Because he was so fascinated by the cage, he didn't see the bird inside. So he gave 1,000 zlotys. And he took the bird and the cage home. And he started polishing the cage, decorating it with different little ribbons and little stones and things like this. And meanwhile, the bird inside is getting really hungry. And this went on for 3 days. Oh, this cage, it's so beautiful. One day, with a knock on the door. It was his friend who came to visit him. His friend came in. Wow, what a beautiful cage. And look at that amazing parrot inside. So the man said, oh yes, my cage is really nice. And the bird's like, So his friend said, hey, you got a great cage, but you got to feed the bird. Oh yeah, I got to polish my cage. So you get the point. After 1 week, the bird died. His friend came back, walked in the house. Hey, you've been polishing the cage. You didn't see the bird? He died.
He said,
what bird? So that's that. His friend took his head and put it inside the cage. Now you see the
bird.
So it's a little humorous. But we're laughing at ourselves. Because the body is like a cage. It may be very handsome, very beautiful, nicely decorated, but what's really important is the bird within the soul. And in our modern civilization, we know very little about that soul within. What's more important, the cage or the bird? The bird. What's more important, the body or the soul? The soul. But if I ask you, sir, come up on the stage and speak about the cage, you can speak for 1 hour.
Ale gdybym zaprosił Państwa tutaj na scenę, abyście powiedzieli coś o tej klatce czy o cienie, moglibyście mówić przez godzinę.
I'm this tall.
Mam tyle wzrostu.
I have green eyes.
Mam zielone oczy.
Brown curly hair.
Brązowe, kręcone włosy.
Really nice shoes from London.
Ładne buty z Londynu.
Levi's from America. And I say, well, speak about the soul.
Ale ja proszę, żeby Pan powiedział coś o duszy.
You see, so this is the problem. The body is here today, it could be gone tomorrow. But not the soul. The soul never dies. The soul is eternal. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is so interesting, it explains what happens to the soul when the body dies. That's important to know where we're going to go when we die. We should think about it. Not all the time, but we should know where we're going to go when we die. We should always know where we're going. Just imagine like 2 weeks ago when you were getting ready to come on your vacation.
Wyobraźcie sobie siebie dwa tygodnie temu, kiedy wybieraliście się na wakacje.
Right? And your husband, he packed the car and you put the kids inside.
I mąż spakował wszystko do samochodu.
And you turned to your husband and you said, honey, where are we going on our vacation?
A żona zwraca się do męża i mówi, kochanie, gdzie idziemy na wakacje?
And he turned to you.
A mąż zwraca się do żony.
He said, I haven't got a clue where we're going on vacation. What? You don't know where we're going on vacation. You get a little nervous. I'm just going to start driving. We'll go anywhere.
No.
I want to know where we're going to go on our vacation. We always want to know where we're going. The same with the end of life. Where are we going? Well, who really knows? There are books. like Bhagavad Gita, very advanced spiritual books, which give very detailed information where the soul goes when he leaves the body. I'll quote one verse from Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. Dehinosmin yata dehe hovanam yovanam jara tatati antaras paptir dirastatanamuyanti. This means, as the embodied soul passes from the body of a baby to a boy to a youth and old man, the soul passes into another body at death.
Podróżuje w tym ciele od wieku niemowlęcia przez dziecko, przez młodość do starości, podobnie w chwili śmierci dusza zmienia ciało.
If you have any amount of material desires which are not yet fulfilled,
jeśli ktoś ma jeszcze jakieś pragnienia materialne, które nie zostały spełnione,
then by the law of nature, by the arrangement of God, you take birth again in the womb of a new mother, and you get another body to fulfill those material desires. And this has been going on for a very long time. Unfortunately, we're very attracted to this material world, although it's temporary, full of suffering. We somehow imagine we can be happy here, so we keep searching for happiness, birth after birth after birth after birth. This is called reincarnation. This isn't your first life. We've been taking birth after birth after birth. One man said to me, "Oh, it's not so bad. Maybe I'll be born a wealthy man, I'll be very famous, and I'll be good looking. It's no harm." But even if you're one of those few people in society who has everything, like the movie stars, we have to remember that this is a world of duality. Heat and cold, light and darkness, up and down, happiness and distress. So it's not a perfect place. So an intelligent person, he makes the best out of life as he can. He grows up, he gets a good education, has a career, marries, has a family, has some hobbies, some sports like that. But he always keeps in mind there's a higher goal. And that's to get out of this repetition of birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth,
death.
That's the ultimate goal. We should do everything else, but don't forget the ultimate goal is liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And within this lifetime, if you can awaken your love for God, then at the moment of death, you don't take birth again. There's no need to. You gain something higher. Something better than anything in this world has to offer. And when you die, you go back to the spiritual world. And that cycle's finished. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. And that's our real home. Not Katowice. Gdańsk, Lublin, Szczecin, I'm testing my Polish here.
Paris,
New York. It's not our home. We have so much affection for those places. But it's affection that's misplaced. Our real affection should be for our real home, the spiritual world. And for God, our original Father. And that love for God, it's already there in the heart. Everyone has that love in their heart. You just have to awaken it. And in India, they have a very simple but sublime process for awakening that love of God, which is our ticket back to the spiritual world. And what is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How do you wake a sleeping person up? With sound. How do you wake up that dormant love for God? With sound. But a spiritual sound. This Hare Krishna song is composed of different names of God. And it's so powerful. It can awaken your love for God. And that's the greatest treasure of life. It's our ticket back to the spiritual world. And it's so simple. You just have to sing and dance. Of course, you can sing any name of God that you know Him by. We feel comfortable singing Hare Krishna. But you can choose any name. But while we're all here together tonight, why don't we all sing Hare Krishna together? It's not a different God. It's just a different name. Like if her name is Agnieszka. Martina? Agnieszka Martina.
Agnieszka Martina.
So if I call her Agnieszka, she'll respond.
Więc jeśli zawołam Agnieszka, ona się zwróci w moim kierunku.
If I call her Martina,
jeżeli użyję imienia Martina,
she'll also respond.
Również odpowie.
So you can say Hare Krishna, or Allah, or Jehovah, or Jesus, or what, he'll respond.
Więc możemy użyć imienia Hare Krishna, czy też Allah.
And if we're associating with Him, we'll always be happy because He's the most blissful person.